It's time for Show Me the Franchise.
With Thomas and Frederick. With Thomas and Frederick.
It's time for Show Me the Franchise.
With Thomas and Frederick. With Thomas and Frederick.
Welcome to Show Me the Franchise, the podcast that talks about franchises of all shapes, sizes, backgrounds, genres, and types. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Stadler, here as usual with the Dip Master himself, Fred Dakin.
Ooh, the Dip Master. I don't know how I feel about that. I think I might live with it, though.
you want that? I mean, I was going to go with Fred Freak Nasty Dakin. Do you know what that is a reference to?
No.
The song Da Dip. I put my hand upon your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. You put your hand.
Ooh.
You know that song?
I know it when you sing it like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and just say, he's Fred Freak Nasty Dakin, because that's the one that could stick.
Oh, I like that, yeah. Fred Freak Nasty?
Yeah, Fred Freak Nasty. Is that going to be on like, yeah, your LinkedIn profile? So we got our next candidate here, Fred Freak Nasty.
Tom Spoon the Goon, I don't know.
Spoon the Goon. Isn't a goon like now? It's not like the.
It's not as fun anymore.
It's not like goon with Sean William Scott. It's like goon with, I don't know, perverts.
Yeah, I feel like goon is something like, you know, when back in my day, it would just be like a ruffian out on the road. Like, look at these goons.
Yeah.
Or like a hench, like a in comic books, you know, like the Joker has his goons.
True. Or you have like a hockey goon, like I was just referencing with that movie with Sean William Scott. He is a hired like muscle for the team to go and just beat up guys. But yeah, now the modern day goon, Zoomers have turned that into something a little more perverted. And you guys out there in listener land could go and look that up on your own. But we ain't gooning around here, Fred. we got something. We were talking about dips this week. Dipping sauces, dippity doo dah day.
Oh, you're like talking like dips you eat.
Yeah, you know. Not like a stock market dip, which is also a bit.
I thought we were going to talk about chewing tobacco.
Oh, that's also dip. That's a good point.
I brought some Skull with me, some Grizzly that we can try.
You ever done dip?
Oh, I lived in the South. Of course I did dip.
Oh, my God.
When I was in summer school on break, we would hang out and like do dip. Because what was so crazy was dip was kind of unspoken between a lot of teachers and students. Students would just do dip in class.
What?
Yeah.
That's
insane. As long as you weren't like out there with it, you could get away with it.
That's ridiculous. I can see our guest wants to say something. And so we'll go ahead and introduce him. Pedro Hernandez is back here. Welcome back, Pedro.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's fair. I guess when in the South, tobacco.
When in the South, dip goes in the mouth.
Oh, Jesus. That's Fred. Freak Nasty Dippin'.
Fred Freak Nasty Dippin' Dakin.
Dippin' Dakin, dude.
Dippin' Dakin. Actually, Dippin' Dakin's got
Dippin' Dakin.
Oh, Dippin' Dots. It's make me, I want Dippin' Dots now. Little balls of ice cream.
Oh, man. Those were good. There are so many dips in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, and yeah, we're not talking about stock market dipping. We're talking about that.
There's three dips in here.
Yeah, oh. We got...
What? Three dip shits.
Oh.
Thank you.
Guys, we're on here in a total just double entendre type ideals, right? Isn't that double entendre? Is that the word?
Yeah, it has a double meaning. Yeah.
Yes, yes, okay. I don't know. I feel like double entendre always does have like more of a sexual connotation.
Because I think that's what most people are, when they're executing a double entendre, they're going with something sexual.
Yeah, like, ooh, I'd like to show you my dip, but... I don't know what that means. Get a taste of my...
buddy.
I don't even want to finish that one. That one doesn't sound good. But Pedro, welcome back to the show. Pedro Hernandez. Welcome back. It was great to talk to you about Quentin Tarantino, but this time we're doing something a lot different. Mm-hmm. I was trying to make the connection between Tarantino and... who did Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Zemeckis?
Zemeckis, yeah. And I was like, we'd be talking about... The dip that they put the tunes into kills them.
Because there isn't really any too many famous dips in Tarantino movies, I don't think.
I mean, we all know about his feet thing. And who likes to put a dip in, you know, dip your toes into stuff?
Oh, there you go. That's the connection.
Tarantino. Mm-hmm.
Tarantino doesn't shoot too much food, I feel.
No, I can't think of any other than like the diner scene right in Reservoir Dogs, mm-hmm. the beginning, right?
But he's not doing loving shots of like delicious breakfast food or anything like that.
He's not Wes Anderson.
Mm-mm. No. I was like, does Wes Anderson have very famous like shots though of food?
Yeah, or the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, sure.
It's all about the food.
I mean, I just like the way that movie looks in general. It's a great film.
I like pastels. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that little like pink, like salmon almost.
Yeah, if it's a peep color, it's a pastel.
You're almost wearing like a pastel.
It's red, Tom.
It's red, but it's got like almost like a coral like shade to it.
It's just been in the wash a lot of times.
I saw this. But there's lobsters on it. But Pedro, you were the one that suggested dips to us as a franchise. And we love going outside the box, right? So I guess tell us a little bit about your experience with dips. Like, I don't know. What are your memories of dips?
The thing is, I'm a saucy boy. I if it's a dry piece of, or not even dry, if it is a vehicle for sauce or dip, I like to put on it. I mean, growing up, dips, you know, you got your classics. You got your guacamole. You got your salsas for me, growing up Mexican. But later on, you know, living in Packer country and good old tailgating stuff, you got your beer cheese dips, you got your French onion, your ranch, all those things. I mean, dips are something I really like with a lot of my carbs and veggies. I love them.
I do like that dips don't necessarily have a singular definition, because you just even said it right there, like dipping sauce. And sometimes there is that fine line between like barbecue sauce that you can put on something, but also you can dip things in barbecue.
Yeah, the
sauce.
Spectrum, I feel, and we can, you know, break this down later, is it goes like sauce, dip, spread. Right? Wouldn't that be kind of like the path? And it's like, mostly due to thickness, but not necessarily.
Because you can dip things in a spread, depending on how the spread is being stored. It's all about the tangibles and the intangibles of this topic.
That's what we like to get into on this podcast.
We're going to go through the metaphysics of what is a dip. Yes, I like that. Yeah,
we'll get into it. I definitely want to get some definition here. But Fred, what about you? What are some of your like dips, experiences, memories?
So, like, growing up, I felt like whenever we had a party or something, my mom would always, like, steer a little fancy with, like, the food she would put out, you know. One thing, she would make, like, the boursin from scratch cheese. She would put it in, like, a goblet. And, you know, I don't know if you want to call it that a spread or a dip, but there was definitely dipping into that cheese. I would also say the other one was shrimp cocktail with a shrimp dip, which would be just like that cocktail sauce. But, you know, there's some dipping going on there. Then the third big thing, which was kind of like later in life, that was a big dip for us, which I've made for Tom before, I know, was a sausage Rotel dip, which is just like, hey.
What about me?
Pedro, I don't think you've had my sausage Rotel
dip. I haven't.
Yeah, well, today, we'll get to it later. I wanted to break the mold a little bit and try something else, but I will, in the future, make you a nice sausage Rotel dip, which is just three ingredients. It's hot sausage, cream cheese, and a can of Rotel. That together makes quite a nice dip.
That is a very tasty dip.
And it's a hot temperature dip.
I like that. You know, we didn't. And so that was something I should add to context to. Well, and I can add the context right now, is that prior to our recording here, the three of us, we did a very Doughboys-esque participation of this dips topic by actually enjoying some dips that we could talk about here today. And I think just getting a sample of like what is everyone's different idea of a dip. Pedro, I think we should bring that Rotel dip though when we get our invite over to your house.
Yeah, you should bring it.
I can do that.
You're not allowed in the yard if you're on the premises.
The Fred in the yard?
The Fred in the yard. No.
Fred in the yard. Today's
the day. Heard of the woman in the yard, but
you
the Fred
stay,
in the
you
yard.
Stay in the driveway if you don't have the Rotel dip.
He's got binoculars from the window. Like, mm-hmm. Does he have the dip?
No, I'll have sprinklers on. Yes, exactly. But where were we gone again?
We were just talking about like hot dips.
Oh, hot dips. Yeah.
The dips. We did not get to enjoy any hot dips today.
Hey, cheese was lightly lukewarm.
It was microwaved.
It was. Oh, that's right, though. The cheese sauce was warmed.
Yes. So should we go through the things that we brought?
I think so. I mean, I think we, well, so to give people an idea of dips, because and I think this is where we can start talking about definition of a dip a little bit, too. So we had, well, let's each share what we each brought. So I brought hummus, which is not a traditional dip, but it's things you dip into.
Yeah.
And I also brought spinach artichoke dip.
It's in the name.
It is. It's right there. You can't. It's unassailable.
I don't think anyone's ever said spinach artichoke sauce or spread.
It's true.
Yeah. So that's, I feel like you provided the medium grade of the dip experience. I went for... what can you get in a gas station? You're late to a tailgate. You're late to watching football with your friends or whatever. So I brought good old canned salsa, jarred salsa, paste medium salsa. And I also brought the Tostitos nacho cheese, which are dips. And that you must microwave. If not, it's a little too much product and less cheese product. So that's what I brought.
Very true.
Yeah, you got to heat up that Tostitos cheese or else you're... No, it's no good. Mm. I guess you're teeing me up to say I brought the like the high level stuff.
I'll let the listeners decide. Just describe
So I had mentioned my mom used to make boursin from scratch. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do a boursin dip. So it's kind of mix of boursin, cream cheese, a little milk to get that nice dip consistency. And then I added some red pepper flakes, a little honey drizzle on top, and then an assortment of crumbled nuts to go on top of it.
And you listeners, know. It was delicious.
Super delicious.
No, I thought it was pretty good myself. And then something that I love, which is cannolis. Growing up on the East Coast, cannolis were everywhere at every grocery store. You can get like a great cannoli. And I always wanted to try to make a cannoli dip. So I made cannoli dip, which was pretty good. I was a little mad I didn't get mascarpone. I had to sub in cream cheese. And it also kind of did take away a little bit of that mystery to cannoli. Because I always wondered, like, why does it taste like that? Now I know why it tastes like that. Still delicious. And we had that with some cinnamon sugar pita chips, which those were quite nice.
They were very good. Yeah, we had a lot of different things with those. Pita chips. We had a different or a lavash. I think they're right. The crackers.
Lavash.
Why do I add lavash. So much stank onto it? I'm like lavash.
You said lavash. I think you said larvish. Which
larvish.
You know the larvish champs.
It's very much the Midwesterner coming in here. I like calling it like a gyro or like a gyro instead of a euro.
Yeah. And this when I lived in the South, we called the euros gyros.
Ugh. It's just like. Painful to hear now when you know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Yes, chips, but tortilla chips,
potato chips,
some Ritz crackers.
The Ritz crackers. What we missed out on, I didn't think about this until I was actually eating the spinach artichoke dip. We didn't have any pretzels. Pretzels to me are a classic Midwest dip and snack.
Definitely Midwest, because like that's not something I think about, but I do when I. See at parties, especially when people have got like their beer cheese dip and stuff, like the pretzel is a big one. For me, a big one would be like nice French bread cut up.
Yeah.
That was big for like the dip you brought, the spinach artichoke.
Right.
I love the bread bowl where you tear out the middle into chunks and then you put the dip in the middle and then you're kind of dipping the bread innards into this bowl of bread. With the dip in there.
And see, now something I want to talk about too, because we were talking about not having any hot, or we had one hot, is like, I think in that case, that's when the spinach artichoke dip needs to be warm in order to make that bread work. Because otherwise, it's like, you're just tearing up the bread trying to get that out of the bowl.
Oh, that's another one I would say my mom didn't make when I was trying to think of, like, what were some of the dips she would make? She would make not a spinach artichoke dip, but just an artichoke dip, which I love because I think the artichoke gets very lost in a spinach artichoke dip. It becomes its own thing, and the spinach is what's really singing the loudest. Mm. But just a straight up artichoke dip is really good, I think. A lot of parm, garlic, and then I think usually it's cream cheese or sour cream or something like that mixed up and then baked. Mm. And you see the chunks of artichoke in there. I love that.
Oh, love a good spin art dip. I had to bring some when we were talking about it.
You can't leave the driveway if you don't bring that too.
Man, it's just turning into a dip party.
It's
dip.
Turning into a dip demand.
I mean, I just feel like it's going to be a dip run for us, like, from here on out. It's kind of what I'm getting a sense of. But I think it's important to start with what we're talking about right now here. It's the different types of dips that we talked about, because it does come in so many different, kind of like this podcast, different shapes, sizes, forms. Like, it's a spread, it's a sauce, it's just a dip, it's literally salsa, which means sauce, right? So it's like, which it's all these different connotations of it. So I think just trying to break it down to what even is a dip, and I'll get into the very technical term as the very official source Wikipedia defines it. A dip or dip sauce is a common condiment for many types of food. Dips are used to add flavor or texture to a food, such as pita bread, dumplings, crackers, chopped raw vegetables, fruits, seafood, cubed pieces of meat and cheese, potato chips, tortilla chips, falafel, and sometimes even whole sandwiches, in the case of juice and au jus.
Mm.
Au jus, yeah.
See, I can get that, but I can't get lavish.
Yeah, one of us really dropped the ball to do something funny and should have just brought in French dip.
Oh, yeah. What's funny about this definition and why I wanted to read that whole thing out is that they immediately describe it as a sauce. And I think that's an interesting way to put it, because, yeah, sometimes a sauce, a traditional sauce, is something you would dip into. Like, is ketchup a sauce? Is it a dip? Is it a condiment, like, of its own accord? How would you guys define it?
I think these things are defined by the intent they're being used.
So
I feel like if you're going to use it for a dip, it becomes a dip.
Mm.
And if you're going to use it as a condiment, it's a condiment.
But where's the line for that then?
Whether or not that use makes sense or it works.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's what it is. It's very subjective. But I think it's going to be intent and purpose. So, yeah. I mean, you can dip into ketchup. So technically, it could be a dip. Mm. A dipping sauce.
You can dip into anything. I dip my hand into a bag of bologna and eat it, you know, like,
I don't know. If that might be the line.
Someone had to find it.
Can we back up? You dipped your hand into a bag of bologna? Yeah.
You know, the common metric unit of bag.
Yeah.
Bagged bologna. I can't Thank say you. I've often seen that.
I guess back in my like day when I would like get bologna at home, it would be in that like plastic container, sure. Right?
Yeah, the Oscar Mayer.
Yeah, and you couldn't really get it out. You had to get like a toothpick to kind of pluck it out.
I don't call that a bag, though.
I'm just saying, like, what you were saying about the whole function of things.
Oh, that's,
you
know, fair, like, I guess. Yeah. Oh.
Mm. Celebrity chef Alton Brown, someone we've talked about before, mm-hmm, on this podcast.
Good old AB.
Suggests that a dip is defined based on its ability to maintain contact with its transport mechanism over 3 feet of white carpet.
So we did not test this over carpet today, which we kind of dropped the ball on.
Who owns carpet? What's carpet nowadays? That seems like such a 90s answer.
I don't own it. I rent it.
Oh, that's fair. I feel like everyone goes hardwood floors now.
Yeah, it's the chic thing now, especially even in the space we are in currently, is hardwood floors. Some of the sound bounces a little bit off the hardwood floor, and I'm kind of bummed about that. So apologies, listeners, if you ever get some of that echo. But dips in various forms have been eaten all over the world, and people have been using sauces for dipping for thousands of years. The earliest known dip was actually back in ancient Rome. Possibly the oldest recorded dipping sauce is called garum, a fermented fish sauce that was used as a condiment in the cuisines of Rome, ancient Greece, Phoenicia, Carthage, and Byzantium.
Mm.
It was made from small fish such as sardines, anchovies, red mullet, and more, but it would be fermented together with the intestines of a larger fish, such as a tuna, and it would be included in a wide range of recipes. And so they would dip that.
Sounds delicious.
They said it's very close or comparable to fish sauce today. So I think it would be very finely put, like almost like down to almost like kind of a, maybe like a slightly chunkier soy sauce of sorts.
That's a picture. Sir, can I get my soy sauce chunky? Please. Fish sauce is cool. I think it's fine. I mean, if it's an intense flavor.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they would eat it with and how much.
I mean, obviously that's kind of there. I can read some quotes from Pliny the Elder if you'd like to know a little more about garum.
Yeah, please do. Give me plenty of that.
You want some plenty of Pliny? Pliny?
Yeah, plenty of plenty.
Plenty of Pliny and plenty of plenty.
What do you say? What this old dude say?
Acknowledged it was derived from the Latin word garum from Greek, also geros, which is very close to euros. well, just had to point that out.
I'm sure he invented the euro.
Yeah, Pliny the Elder is kind of a fucking guy. If you ever like read a lot about like Roman culture and Roman history, he's got all this shit that he wrote.
Feel bad for his kid,
Pliny the Younger. I think the Pliny the Younger actually is a person though too. That's why they define him as Pliny the Elder.
Disappointment the Younger. That's just kidding.
I have a side note on Pliny the Elder, though, very quickly.
Go ahead.
Let's dip
into that.
I took a topics in Roman culture class in college, and it was taught by a man who was from Northern Ireland. And goddamn, was that the funniest shit sometimes to hear him say like Roman words or like these Roman names in like an Irish accent, like Pliny the Elder. And he would say shit like, oh, so you have Socrates who had taught everybody about these.
They used to eat garum.
We never mentioned garum, though. Mm. We did talk a lot about Mark Anthony and and Julius Caesar. And it's just the best.
Cleopatra and the Asp.
Anyway. Fantastic professor, though. He was so entertaining. Like, he gave a power lecture and never lost interest because he just... something about listening. It'd be like listening to Liam Neeson give you a power lecture for an hour.
I have a particular set of dips.
I liked it. Thank you.
I only do it for you.
Pliny stated the garum was made from fish intestines with salt, creating a liquor, the garum, and the fish paste named halec or alex, similar to bagung. This paste was a byproduct of fish sauce production. A concentrated garum evaporated down to a thick paste with salt crystals called muria. It would then be used to salt and flavor foods.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think... you almost...
it's like a fucked up A1 sauce.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I like A1 sauce.
I mean, right?
But it's a fucked up one.
Yeah.
You don't want to see the salt crystals.
What's interesting, though, is they don't actually describe, like, what...
actual food.
Like, food they would really use it with. Like, it said it would be used on, like, meat and in stews. Yeah. So, but I'm like, it's also really giving me a weird thing of like, why is this called, I guess that's the idea that it's a sauce, right? Like, so you'd be using it to sort of like sauce your meat or, you know, or what do you want to call it? Marinate your meat.
Or dip your meat if you forgot the sauce.
Yeah, potentially, right?
Like a wing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you.
Look at that. The Romans invented the idea of the wings.
Take that, Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
They're like, damn it all. But yeah, so it's very interesting to look back on a very early portion of this because obviously that informed a lot of things to come over the years. There's just, I think you could look at all these different things and all these different types of like sauces that are just a subset of all these different things, right? Like a honey mustard sauce, right? It's mustard seeds. There's a little bit of honey involved in that to make something that's a little more tangy, but... also not hot. What, how would mustard's just tangy, right?
Or it's got a little bit of like that,
some spice,
that pepper heat, you know, like black pepper.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to
you feel it in it. The nose.
It's true. But I mean, over the years, obviously, and I didn't put together a historical record like I usually do for so many of our episodes because Dips is such a widely seen brand, right?
Honestly, I think it goes back to the Last Supper.
Dipping your the body of Christ into his blood?
Yeah. That's the no, first please keep dip. Going. That's the first dip I've heard of.
Fred, do you have any? Is that your drop?
Well, that's what I was going to bring.
Is this
today?
The Lord drop?
Oh, if you brought some communion wafers and some wine, we'd have been having a party here.
We are recording on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blessed be. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. But you look at the fact that, yeah, dips have persisted for thousands of years. It is, and there's so many different brands. I thought about picking out a few different brands to talk about, but where do you start? Where do you end it with that, right? It's Hidden Valley makes ranch, but it's salad dressing that's get used as dip. It's, you look at, where else you want to go? Yeah, Heinz ketchup. Sure, put it on a burger, but you can dip your fries in it.
Heinz has a ton of stuff, but yeah, you're right. I think depends on the company, really. I'm trying to think of an actual company that's just primarily like would be dip.
Hell of a. What's that? Like hell of a good, that dip brand. It's like usually they do.
Is
like
it a new
like
brand?
The vegan dip?
No, it's been around. Hell of a is kind of like, it's H-E-L-L-E-V-A good, spelt like good. And it's like your sour cream and onion dip. Your ranch dip, whatever, they're chip dips.
Right.
Yeah, Dean's. And Dean's the...
Yeah, Dean's is the one that's, like, more regional. But Hell of a, I believe, is global. Well, not global, but
national.
I think you'll see it a lot at, like, more, like, organic forward stores, right? Like Trader Joe's, Outposts.
Oh, see, I'm a degenerate, people. That's why I brought the gas station dips.
Nothing wrong with that, but no, those.
I love my rat.
But that's a good point. That is a very like, yeah, and I think they are very what like vegetable vegan forward type dips, right? That was
the Dean's I was used to not living here. Like that was the brand for like chips and dip when you're talking like a potato chip and some sour cream onion. It was hell of a good.
Wait, maybe I'm thinking of something else though too. I think it's like best damn like dip or something like that, or like,
yeah, that's a more niche thing, but it's the same thing. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of, not hell of a.
Well, I feel like dips as like in growth and popularity mainly started as a like from other companies that wanted to sell their product more. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my guess because it's like Tostitos is a chip company,
right?
But they have salsas, they have cheeses, they have other dips, ranch dip, they have. Even Frito-Lay's has a bean dip, Frito-Lay's.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I feel like it's a vehicle for, like, getting to sell your product more.
Well, and I think you touched on something even bigger there, though, too, right? How many of these companies are also creating the vehicle that you're mentioning there to add something to it? And, I mean, yeah, because you have Tostitos, they're tortilla chips. They make Fritos. Or no, that's Frito-Lay.
Frito-Lay. Obviously. How can that be profitable for Frito-Lay? Come on.
Frito-Lay also makes
stuff. Although I think Ruffles might be under Frito-Lay as well. So, is it?
Ooh. Good. I thought Ruffles were... Are they Frito-Lay or are they...
What would they be? Nabisco? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They're not Utz.
This is the dip episode, not the chip episode. Yeah, so.
Check back at the chip episode with Tyler. 2 years ago.
Listen in. Tell us we're wrong.
Ruffles. Well, Lay's?
Lay's. It's Frito-Lay, baby.
Lay's, Frito-Lay. Lay. Ooh. Am I putting things together right now?
Yeah, dude.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Are we certain these aren't all just the same company?
Yes, yeah, dude. That's what I'm saying. If you guess, it's probably the same company.
It's fractured into all these different brand names that just trick us.
Yeah. Welcome to the country.
I do feel Tostitos does like the best job of like serving both sides, though, because I feel I'd actually rather buy a Tostitos dip or salsa but then I would probably get a different brand for their chip.
Sure.
Which is kind of funny. Like I might want something a little more authentic, quote unquote, like a thicker, more corny chip versus some of those are like too flimsy. Like, yeah, flimsy chippies.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, I think, and that's something that is very an intentional choice whenever I am picking like a chips for salsa or even like something that might be multiple purpose. Kind of like we experienced today, right? Where it's like, okay, I know I have spinach artichoke dip. I know I have going to probably have salsa. We're going to have something else. You need a thicker, more firm chip now. And sometimes those Tostitos chips, they don't hold up. I want those thick, like some kind of like smaller brand chips. And like the ones that I brought today were El Rey chips, which they're not the firmest, but they definitely taste the fucking best.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a local grocery store in Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's how we do it around here.
We keep it local except for Tostitos.
Yeah. Well, if El Rey comes out with a cheese dip that's as good as the Tostitos nacho cheese dip, I'll be there.
I think they have salsas.
I'll pick their salsa over a Tostitos salsa. Yeah. I just really do like that Tostitos just fake ass
cheese product.
I love that.
Well, isn't there something, though, about nacho cheese, another type of dip that we could probably be talking about, too? And maybe that's how we can start proceeding here is like, all right, here's sort of the traditional dip is what salsa and like cheese dip, right? Like that's kind of like it feels like when you first someone mentions dip, right? Who's bringing salsa? Who's bringing like or what kind of cheese dips are we going to have? And it comes in so many different shapes and forms. Nacho cheese is like a ballpark, a stadium staple if you go to a sporting event. They're going to have nachos, but it's not traditional nachos of, like, cheese on top all the time. Unless you go to the Brewer game.
Yeah.
It's the little fucking flimsy plastic tray with the Tostitos tortilla chips and then the fake, like, cheese.
Yeah, like if you're at 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That too. And I don't know, but, like, and why has that persevered, do you guys feel like, for all these years? It's a tough question.
Want the philosophical
Yes.
Give us the philosophical.
I mean,
give us
I feel like we grow up eating this stuff as kids.
Yeah.
We want to retain something that reminds us of easier times. Is that not why we like some of the shitty food that we like?
I suppose that's true.
It reminds us of a time. Food takes you back. Mm-hmm. It unlocks memory.
It's like Ratatouille when he's eating the Ratatouille.
Yeah, but instead of like a French countryside, we were like, oh, this is back when I didn't pay taxes.
Yeah.
I didn't pay rent.
Yeah, there's something about like those, especially like the Tostito brand dips and chips do take me back to like a younger time growing when I was not living in the South yet, but living in a small town, you know.
Wait, you grew up in a small town?
I grew up in a small town.
You're a small town boy?
Yeah, I was a small town boy. We lived on a farm and the grocery store, you know, we didn't grow up with all these different varieties, you know. We kind of just had Tostitos, you know, and Utz.
Oh, yeah, Utz. They're making a comeback.
They are.
Yeah, I like that they're creeping in. It makes me feel good.
I saw some Utz cheese balls. I went to a party on Friday that was 90s themed, and somebody found the big tub of Utz cheese balls. And it took every morsel of energy in my power to not just go and power like all that down like in one sitting.
He's like, Tom, you have to be social.
I did have some gushers, though, and that was like...
Yeah, those I have to stay away from. They're too good for me.
That was my Ratatouille moment of like...
No, they're bad for us.
Yeah. I know, but I'm saying like I like them so much. Like, yeah, oh my gosh.
Gushers are amazing. I forgot how good they were until I had them. But also there, though, there are some dips. There are some good dips. And I think that's something that even, you know, I think about, too, is when somebody mentions a dip. I mentioned cheese dip. Well, sure, nacho cheese and, like, you have the Tostitos brand nacho cheese. But now you mentioned it's beer cheese dip, right? And especially being in the Midwest growing up in Wisconsin, pretzels and beer cheese dip are, like, you can't go anywhere to a bar who has like pretzels or anything where they won't be like, hey, you can get a beer cheese dip with that little mustard with it too. You go to the old German beer hall downtown in Milwaukee and you can get yourself a big pretzel with some beer cheese like dip and some mustard and you just sit and that's your meal.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I was trying to think because when we were talking about these, like if there was a Mount Rushmore dip, I feel like a nacho cheese dip and a salsa, like, claim two spots easy.
Yeah.
Nacho cheese or a cheese, I think.
Like, we're just going to say like a golden cheese.
Because I'm not going to fight the people in the Southwest about queso.
Oh, yeah.
They have a whole idea of queso and I don't want to, or nope. So, yeah, let's keep it a cheese dip.
Okay.
I think cheese dips are things. Then there's those cream dips, cream-based dips, which we talked about, spinach artichoke,
French onion, sour cream,
your boursin. It's more of a creamy texture.
A way to incorporate both vegetables and other, like, maybe, like, more, not savory, but, like, maybe just, like, less flavorful items. Yeah, like a French onion dip, which is delicious.
Or I like even when you get, like, a ranch dip where it's the thicker.
Ranch, yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
On a vegetable tray?
Yes, I like that because sometimes you have to differentiate that between, like, you have your salad one, which is, like, the thinner, but then it's really fun sometimes if you're going to have, like, a veggie dip just to get that packet of ranch and get sour cream, stir that up. That's some good stuff.
That is good.
Always be cooking.
Mm-hmm. ABC.
I know. I feel like Fred's a good friend to have because then he'll always come up with some kind of new concoction to test out.
But Tom, you and I will never make them.
I did have to call out then, too. Then Fred was the only one of the three of us who homemade his stuff. The rest of us brought, Pedro and I both brought store-bought items. Cause
hey, I know what I bring into friendships, and it's not making things.
So I'll call out another brand, though, too, and not to take us away too far away from cream-based, because I want to talk through some cream-based dips. But yeah, Sabra is very clearly a hummus maker. I mean, their dips are kind of like their thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now they also sell that with like pretzels, like in those little packs. I don't know if they have like a deal with Roll Gold or something like that, or whoever else.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while. I remember in college they did the
that's
fun.
I'm old.
Mm-hmm. Something feels a little healthy about eating hummus over like nacho cheese dip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about the dip vessel with the hummus, isn't that? Like you're like, oh, I'm healthy. I'm eita hummus, but then I'm eating it with like pita chips
pretzels
that have like nutritional value.
Pretzel like rods with hummus is pretty good stuff.
It's dang good.
Pretzel rod is my stage.
Pretzel rod's taking the stage.
Pedro pretzel rod. I mean, it sounds like we're at
little
like,
PPR. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I know you meant like comedy club or, you know.
No,
stage. He definitely
said stage, man. I'm going to keep it general.
You got to pay extra to see the pretzel rod, though.
I regret my choice.
Yes, you do. You should. But I think talking about more about like these cream-based dips, I want to get back there a little bit because I do feel like, again, that is almost something that you talked about too with like queso having a different definition in the South. Cream-based dips in the Midwest versus like the South, I think, have also a different connotation too, right? Because up here in the North Country there, let me tell you about all these dips I had as a kid. You know, people would be making them bagel dips and they'd be putting a little bit of spinach in there. And boy, you got to heat that thing up if you want to dig some bagels into it. But it's not too bad cold. You put a little bit of ham inside that thing. Oh, boy. Barb down the street, she taught me this recipe. I'll tell y'all guys, that was quite the snack we had there. I grew up in a house.
I'm glad you grew up in a house. Hey.
Humble brag.
Fred grew up in a small town. I grew up in a house. But no, I grew up, though, definitely with those types of women, I feel like, in my life of just, oh, my mom would be like, oh, yeah, you know, I got this this recipe from Cindy. And oh, my God. And she doesn't talk like that. I'm adding some stank.
You lived with Kitty Foreman from
that. A little bit, which is also takes place in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Point Place.
But it definitely was all those types of things like casseroles and these like really weird types of dips
dairy. A lot of dairy.
Very dairy forward. Yeah. But like a bagel dip was something that was like a revelation when that became a thing. Every mom around the area had a recipe for that and they brought it to schools for our little luncheons or whatever. If they would have a big like parents contribute stuff to the lunch. You know, whereas like I feel like in the South, right, you could probably speak a little more to it, right? It's like you get some like more like spicy dips, right?
Yeah, I'm also just trying to picture dips in the South in general. I know there were dips, but I would say, I'm sorry,
pimento cheese.
Yes, that was one for sure. I feel like cream cheese based dips were big there, and ranch based dips were big there. But I also just think about like casseroles and a different, like a lot of like that home style mac and cheese and stuff like that. I'm picturing like usually in the South, I'm picturing they're getting to just like the heavier items, you know, like they're not fussing about with chips. They're like, here's mac and cheese, here's fried chicken, you know.
That's true though. But yeah, I guess that's where, you know, that type of experience changes also depending on like what's the popular foods of the area, right? Certainly in Wisconsin, anything cheese based, like you talk about that Rotel cheese dip with sausage. Yeah, that was like Velveeta cheese in the dip that like my parents or like friends of my parents would make for parties. And that's even like what we do when we get together for the holidays. It's like, hey, what are all the different types of dips that people are going to bring? Because we're just going to, we're a snack family. We barely ever have like a set entree. And it's like Reuben dip, where you can have like Pedro's eyes lit up.
What?
have I not made you my Reuben dip, Pedro?
No one makes
looks
me
like
shit.
You're going to be stuck in the yard with me.
I know. I got to fix that up or I'm going to be in trouble here. But I guess that is kind of a thing in maybe this area. I don't know. I'm not going to limit this.
I also grew up Mexican. I don't know what these things are. Well, I mean, maybe. I bet you your lovely wife also hasn't had Reuben dip. Before she met you.
Okay. I was going to say.
Before she met you.
Yes. Okay. But I don't know. I mean, but she also probably
that's also has true.
A different definition of dip than I have. I mean, well.
We'd call it a Reuben spread. Explain to me what is in this dip other than what I assume is like sauerkraut.
Okay.
Yeah, Reuben spread, isn't that what Pee Wee Herman got arrested for in that movie?
That's awful. Poor Pee Wee.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Pee-wee.
I meant to do that. I'll show you the big house.
Oh, God.
Anybody else want to go for a dip?
Whoa. Whoa. Sorry, you did this, Fred.
Pedro literally almost fell out of his chair laughing. That was an episode.
Though. Reuben dip seems like a lot of work.
It's not, though.
You got to get corned beef, right?
So it's corned beef. And I think it's some type of Swiss cheese that you just mix in with corned beef itself and Thousand Island dressing, almost said ranch, sauerkraut. And I think that's pretty much it.
So when you make the thing without the bread.
Basically, if you mix it all together, it does just become a scoopable dip. But then you get like rye chips, which I know are also a very divisive vehicle for a dip. I don't mean to.
It's a lot of crunch. But I'm fine.
I'm cool with it. Yeah.
I mean, some people though hate rye chips. I mean, some people hate rye bread.
I was about to say they probably hate rye bread.
Oh yeah, the Gardetto's argument.
Yeah.
Oh, I love rye chips. I buy bags of just the rye chips.
But like, have you ever dipped rye chips in anything? Ever?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Well, you will soon.
Yeah. Okay.
I've had rye bread stop dipped eating. In artichoke, spinach artichoke dip,
and that
bread.
Probably would be very good.
I'd mess with that.
Yeah. But, like, again, I think that almost gets into the argument, too, of, like, sometimes when you do have a cheese-based dip, something that's a little creamier, some of these things almost do need to lend themselves to being warm, or they're really not going to work.
I thought you were going to say, sometimes bread's better.
I mean, I almost do think, because I know we're going to have our power rankings later, probably to talk about maybe dips specifically, but what are, like, the superior, like, dipping devices? Tortilla chips? Is it bread?
I'm a potato chip boy.
Yeah, I liked you brought some like Ruffle chips, didn't you? And I thought that was like pretty good choice. Even though we did talk about the flimsy nature of them, I'm a big fan of the Tostitos scoops, especially for my Rotel dip. I just wish that like more there was like a more authentic style. Maybe I should be saving this for our Show Me the Franchise, but like a more authentic style scoop chip that has that thickness, but has that shape, like a real yellow corn style scoop chip.
Well,
delicious.
And I almost think what you're describing, even though it's not an authentic version, Frito chips.
Frito scoops.
Or Frito scoops.
See, that's something that like I don't even want to think about because Fritos are like pretty on the bad for you side for chips.
Oh, we said nothing.
But I'm just saying they are great for dips.
They are. Yeah. Frito scoops though, and this almost gets us into something else too. Of something more on like a soup end. Because you mentioned like hot spinach artichoke dip, right? But what if you get into something like French onion dip in a bread bowl? Does that become some kind of dip because you can dip it in there? We can almost kind of get into you or see where I'm going with the transition here. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, scooping Frito scoops into chili. Now, does that make chili then a dip? Mm-hmm. Or is that just chili with Fritos?
I'm going to walk out right now.
It depends how much of that saucy sauce is in there, I think. Because I've had like chili cheese dip.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really, I guess, because when I'm eating like a chili and someone has the Fritos, those become more of like a topping.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, too. But that also gets us then to the transition I was making there, right? So you have these soup bowls that you can dip the bread into. But what about the sandwiches you dip into a French dip?
An au jus.
Into au jus, which is the greatest invention for a sandwich ever, in my opinion.
I mean, I've dipped sandwiches into dips in general. You know, dip a gyro into a tzatziki.
Oh, yeah. That's a move.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can dip it into things.
But is the action of dipping the same as making something a dip? That's the big question.
I mean,
here.
Does tomato soup become a dip when you dip real cheese into it?
See, I would vote no. But then again,
I guess it's like, was the primary purpose of the soup?
Well, if you're thinking about Alton Brown's definition,
it would not survive.
Dripping. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely going to drip.
That's straight dripping. Not.
Tzatziki will not. Usually will not.
Yeah.
See, what I'm thinking though, too, is like with a dip specifically, especially for like a French dip and why it almost kind of falls out, even though it's called a French dip, it's the fact that, like, with the other examples you guys gave, you are almost going to enjoy maybe a grilled cheese sandwich with a tomato soup. And it's almost going to make like it easier to eat the sandwich because it's going to kind of help dissolve it in your mouth. But then someone's just like, fuck that shit. I'm going to dip it.
Yeah.
The soup. But like for a French dip, that's almost like the intention is to dip it into the au jus. So I think au jus, you could argue, is a dip.
I'm not saying it's not. Yeah. But it is just, I don't know. I don't think it is though.
Maybe. I think it's a sauce.
I'm gonna stick with Alton Brown.
Yeah.
It would not survive unless you have very soaky bread. Like absorbent bread. Mm-hmm.
French bread usually is pretty absorbent, though.
Yeah, but it also drips.
I didn't like the Alton Brown thing, but I'm coming around to it because it's making our job easier.
It is. I love things that make my job easy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I like dips.
Yeah.
That I buy.
Well, I always say my favorite, when people are like, what's your favorite food? I always say appetizers.
Mm.
And dip is generally, you know, an appetizer. You don't like, you know, for our main course, we have chips and dip.
Although, a good old little nice. Buffalo chicken dip.
Don't get Tom started on that.
Did I already tell the buffalo chicken dip story? I know I've told it on at least an episode.
Oh, I love buffalo chicken dip.
Oh, it's the best. I'll give you the too long did not read version. Buddy had a party. I brought what I'm pretty sure is like a version of Fred's like Rotel sausage cheese dip. Another friend of mine brought a buffalo like chicken dip with like a little bit of vanilla in it, which I mean to get that recipe. It's got like honey and vanilla. It's very good. But another friend of mine who was there had that dip, connected the dots to me. He's like, this was you. He's like, when are you going to make this buffalo chicken dip again? I'm like, dude, I've never made buffalo chicken dip. Finally, like at like a party, we're watching the NFL draft or something like that. I made buffalo chicken dip. And he's like, this is the same dip. And I'm like, it's not because I've never made it before. This is the first iteration of it. But buffalo chicken dip, again, I feel like I always connect this, and I'm sure it's not Midwest exclusive, but I think Midwest really is like add a little bit of meat into your dips.
Meat, dairy, it's a dip.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I know. Yeah, we talked about that. I like your buffalo dip. And this is my note for all buffalo dip, is I just want more blue cheese hit. I feel the blue cheese, for such a pungent flavor, gets lost in a lot of buffalo dips.
Well, I think what I want to do the next time I make it is put like blue cheese crumble on top.
Yes.
Let it melt into it.
Then Fred's just going to scrape the top.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck.
What happened to the blue cheese of this thing?
Screw everyone else.
Fred's just got a white like ring around his mouth.
Well, white and blue.
Yeah. white and blue, B-O-U.
No, it's also blue, the mold.
Yeah. It's also blue.
I mean, yeah, I guess it is.
It blue. Is at le bleu.
I suppose it is true. A lot of accents we're doing today. I love
Buffalo.
The French don't know what buffalo is.
They know about the buffalo. They've been to Africa. There is a water buffalo. It killed Mufasa. Oh no, were they? I don't know.
Wildebeests?
Were they wildebeests?
I thought it was just a dreary,
like a pack of like antelope. I thought.
No, they were like cows.
No.
No, hey Fred.
I did not watch the Mufasa prequel to The Lion King.
I did.
I did not cry for these.
It was bad, but one thing that's funny that's worth throwing it on for the first 5 minutes, something I realized, Childish Gambino, he's doing a Matthew Broderick impression.
Oh, really?
I swear he is. Like, listening to it, I was like, he's kind of doing like Simba's a Matthew Broderick thing. Huh?
Was it Simba's Day Off? Oh, wait, well, he was a Mufasa?
The new, like, oh, the no. Lion
he
King.
He is Simba prequel. In the live-action Lion King.
Yeah, they do the, like, story format where he's like, we're going to tell you a story, and then it flashes back. So they can have Timon and Pumbaa in it a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though they're not in the story.
Because Rogan needs another pill. Yeah. He needs another check.
We all need another check.
Yeah.
Who's Timon in the new ones?
Billy Eichner.
Why don't you just get Nathan Lane back? Like...
Just they pulled that move with Mufasa already, though.
I guess, but yeah, I mean, sometimes there's just Billy Eichner's not going to do a good Nathan Lane. Like,
bring me John Oliver as Kazoo. Or Kazu.
Kazu.
Isn't it
Zazu?
Zazu. Kazoo, baby.
Kazoo is what we used to download legal music.
That was Kazaa. I think the great
Kazoo. No, that was Livewire.
That was Bear Chair.
Isn't a Kazoo like the thing you blow
up? Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Whatever, the hornbill talks like that, whatever.
Wasn't it the great Kazoo that, like, the little gremlin that, like, Fred Flintstone would talk to? He's like an alien or something?
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Did Fred Flintstone ever eat dip?
I mean, they probably...
Sorry to find a segue.
They probably used, like, though, like, dinosaurs that were, like, alive, and it's like, it's a living to, like, feed themselves.
Out of someone's mouth.
Well, you know, they're always going bowling, so I bet that bowling alley had some dip. Yeah,
bowling alley's got dips. Mm-hmm. You gotta have them.
What's Fred Flintstone's favorite dip? I'm just kidding. We don't need to get
he's a Barney.
He's a buffalo chicken dip guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He likes meat in his dip.
Wilmer, I need myself. I'm doing like a Walter Matthau.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Wilmer, I need myself a buffalo chicken dip.
It's a little Dr. Evil at the end.
Yeah. It's like SNL version of Sean Connery.
We're so off the track here, I guess. A little
I bit. Went back to dip and you...
But I will say...
It's that, Bonnie.
Barney. Well, because he's doing the Honeymooners impression, hey, right? It's, what's I can't remember what the hell that guy's name was.
Who?
The actor from The Honeymooners, the main guy.
Oh, I don't know.
But this will change your opinion though, or you'll never hear it the same way. The way that Homer Simpson's voice got developed was that he was trying to do like a Walter Matthau impression, and it just evolved from there. So like if you watch back at early Simpsons episode or even like the ones from the Tracy Ullman show.
Is it the one where he sounds like this?
Yep. And you'll hear it then that he was kind of doing a Walter Matthau. And then it just kind of eventually got down into like this and all of a sudden
that's
he's
a
doing
good Homer. That's a good Homer. I will give you that.
Thank you.
Let me do my crusty
That man famously likes dips.
Simpson. If we're doing I want to do a little Mo. Hiya, Homer.
I'm good.
Worst dip March. Ever.
Worst dip ever.
Back hello, on. Chums.
Martin. Whatever. I'm in danger, Dip. Anyway.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Save it for the Simpsons episode.
We didn't do one, did you?
No, we haven't yet. You could have done it.
Sorry, I forgot.
Anyway. You can call Dips on...
Guys, we should get back to Dips before I release the hounds!
Smithers, who is that buffoon over there dipping his...
That's a Homer Simpson, sir.
Oh, Christ. Hey, let's get into Show Me the Franchise, shall we?
Yeah.
Right. I think we're at that point here. Usually this is our coulda, woulda, shoulda segment of the episode. Dips is sort of an interesting one to do. Because what I was really trying to think about is, like, what are some dips that don't exist yet that you could try and make, which is certainly a way we could approach it. What I'm also curious, though, to talk to you guys about is, like, what are some dips that maybe you've seen online already that you wanted to try making for yourself, or just maybe just try it, like, see if somebody else can make it for you.
I can kick it off because I have a thought. Something that I have attempted to make, but it didn't taste how I wanted it to. I thought it had kind of a fake taste. It didn't taste like the thing it was trying to approximate was, we were talking about, you know, throwback flavors, you know, 90s kids and all that. Dunkaroo dip.
Oh.
There's a lot of recipes out there, and a lot of them consist of mixing... like rainbow cake mix, just the dry cake mix with Cool Whip and cream cheese or something like that. And it looks like Dunkaroo dip, but it does not taste like how Dunkaroo dip used to taste. And if you buy Dunkaroo dip now, even that dip doesn't taste like the way it used to taste. And I know it's not like I'm getting older thing. I can just taste that it's different. So I wish to somehow bring it back. That's all I'm saying. I would love a good Dunkaroo dip recipe, because that is a fun thing to whip out at a party, because, you know, most people are from our, you know, age group. You pull out that dip and it's got all those little sprinkles in it. It's got that nice, you know, you have some Teddy Grahams with it or animal crackers with it. That's a fun time.
It is. I mean, the Dunkaroos, I think, were also made by whatever those cookie sticks were they were with. Those were really tasty, I always thought. But I guess that also gets into a question, too, yeah, that we could also talk about. Like, what are some dips that you used to enjoy, which I definitely would say Dunkaroos fall in that category, that maybe don't exist anymore that you wish were back?
All the things I like are still raw. I will say that right now. Well, is it because it's Tostitos? Tostitos is timeless.
Oh, now that should be their slogan.
I wonder if Dunkaroos, maybe if, like, it was, like, heavy in, like, an ingredient that was deemed not good for us. Which,
yeah.
Who knows? All that shit's going to come back now that RFK is in charge.
We'll find out. Yeah. Well, Tostitos might be gone. Anyway, I don't know.
I mean, I would also go along. I know we've talked a lot about dip and cheese, but I also love those, like, breadsticks and cheese little dippers that you'd have as a kid. That cheese, a very slight different, but definitely different cheese than a lot of cheeses. I mean, that was very distinct to me.
A very interesting cheese product, yes. I would kind of go back to be like, what kind of thing would I want to see be dipified?
Yes.
Like a Greek lemon chicken thing. Like, if we could find a way to dip that. I don't know how.
Well, like the buffalo dip of that flavor.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard because it's not cream based.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be more like a salsa thing, I'd assume.
I like the idea there, though.
Like, try to capture those flavors, because I do like lemon. I like lemon.
Oh, lemon. Lemon rolls.
Which is not a naturally occurring fruit, but
still. It's a very, very good idea, though, that I like there. I mean,
what's a food that you think would be, like, it would be cool if this was just, like,
a dip?
Condensed as a dip?
I have two.
Mm.
One is, a pesto dip, which I'm sure exists, but...
Just pesto?
No, just but the thing is, like, you gotta thin it out a little, and then sometimes I think it would be hard to get a good consistency. Maybe if you do, like, a sun-dried tomato pesto dip, that could be something. I'm sure it is already something. The other thing, a flavor I love, something that I've done in potatoes, and I brought it up on this podcast, is I love wasabi. I would love some sort of wasabi dip. And then, like, you dip, like a sesame cracker into it or something like that.
Just a fish.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're just eating sushi.
A whole fish.
Well, and you just pointed out something I was just about to bring up here, too. So, two things on this front. One, I think the way I said, like, what's a dip you want to try? Because there's almost a virtual guarantee that somebody has thought about half of these dips at some point, and they exist somewhere online. If you tried looking it up, you could probably find some close recipe that you could alter, right? So, like, to even find, like, your lemon, like, Greek chicken dip, right? Like, you could almost probably find something that resembles that. Or your pesto tomato, sun-dried tomato, which I think, like, that sounds delicious. I mean, because, yeah, I was almost thinking, like, too, it'd be great to have some kind of sushi dip. Like, I don't know how that would look, but I've had, like, crab dip before, and that's been
good. That's something I neglected to bring up, like, growing up on the East Coast. It'd just be, like, blue crab dip, which is just usually like cheese and crab. That's usually about it. That's Old Bay in there.
Yeah, salmon dip also.
Old Bay, not New Bay.
Which you almost need to have like dry crackers though, right? Like almost like soup crackers with those. But something else we almost kind of looked over too, because dips also are different worldwide. We kind of mentioned it even to start with that garum, right? It's like soy sauce. Is a dip. You dip sushi into soy sauce, right?
That's not past the Alton Brown rule.
Oh, it depends how you pick it up.
Guacamole passes the rule.
Definitely guacamole.
I think if you turn the piece of sushi upside down, let it soak into the middle of it, you could walk a good 3 feet with that.
I'll let you guys fight.
It takes some skill.
Call the Mythbusters, the ones that are left, and we'll do
it. Is it a dip or does it get the slip? Today on Mythbusters.
Well, I feel like, yeah, we already talked about hummus. Hummus is not native to the U.S.
No, certainly not. Mm-hmm. Well, how many of these dips are native to the U.S., right? Like, salsa even is not native to the U.S. Well, it's native to the Americas.
Yeah, to the Americas, yes.
The Vegemite dip.
Is it a dip?
Or
is
I don't know. I just know that's a thing from a different place.
it's a thing.
Chutney is another.
Oh, thing. Oh, we didn't say chutney yet.
Which that's. See, I would almost put that in the spread when I was thinking that's something else my mom would make. She would make chutney from scratch and then serve it over cream cheese. She would do one like that and then one red pepper jelly, that spicy jelly on the cream cheese.
Yeah. So I like the idea of like all these different ways you can make a dip, which almost gets me to this idea then too. I kind of mentioned like a sushi dip would be good with you like mix it with a soy sauce or something like that already.
Kind of like poke but smaller.
Yeah. But what if you had like, and here's a very Wisconsin twist on that type of idea. What about like a fish fry dip? And like somehow you could like take like maybe a battered fish fry and you could dip it with like potato chips, because you usually have like potato pancakes or fries with a fish fry, right?
So, like, it would be, like, a tartar saucy, little bit of lemon for my guy Pedro.
Yep.
And then, little like, bit. Chunks of fish?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe, like, some cod or maybe some haddock.
Yeah.
I think you'd lose some of that. I think it would be good, but I think you'd lose some of that, like, fryness to it if you were going to call it a fish fry dip. But then again, you have those other flavors to back it up.
You could almost use, though, like, maybe, like, I'm trying to think, like, something, like, you could even use, like, a... I'm thinking like fried onions or like, you know what I mean? Like something you would put in like a French onion dip, like something like, kind of like that, like crispy pieces like that you would put in there.
So would it be a hot or cold dip?
I would almost vision that as a hot dip.
Yeah, then I don't know. It might get soggy.
Good.
Because of the crispiness.
But would it be as good cold? That's the other question.
Nope.
Cold fish, unless it's smoked, isn't getting me excited. Or unless it's raw salmon, isn't getting me excited.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You heard it here, folks. Cold fish does not get Fred excited.
With those caveats.
With those caveats. There are smoked.
Which I think that opens up the whole case. Sushi's its own category. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Save that for the sushi episode.
I do miss bagel dip. I think that was one thing I wish was more of a thing now.
What is bagel dip?
It's basically like dill, cream cheese, ham. Like, you ever have those, like...
What you would put in a bagel?
I mean, you could.
Where does the bagel come in, I guess?
Well, so you cut up bagel into pieces, and then you take those pieces, because they're a little more firm, so you could eat that dip cold.
Okay.
And that way, it sustains itself a little bit better.
So it's like calling salsa dip tortilla dip.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
or every dip potato bit. Dip.
it's literally describing the action. Dip the bagel. It's a bagel mm-hmm. dip. You know,
bagel dip. Yeah.
Yeah, the ham is interesting. Is this like?
It's like those ham roll-ups.
It's a very Midwestern thing.
Where you yeah, put like another cream thing. Cheese and like the ham with like a little bit of like pickles or something like that.
Never yes. had a ham roll-up.
How about hot ham and rolls?
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
That would be another fun dip if you could somehow work that out.
And here, put this in my other things I don't want cold as ham, unless it's like a
sandwich.
Ham sandwich.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't eat the ham roll-up?
No, I don't want to picture some Midwest mom's fingers all over these roll-ups.
I do.
Yeah,
I bet you do.
Pedro can come over for Christmas.
Those those ham fingies, please.
Come in and be like, Holly.
Where have those fingers been?
Oh, I know. With the ham.
I was trying to remember other stuff, though, like Dunkaroos that was like big dips in the...
Usually candy, I feel like. Candy had like a lot of dip mechanisms. Like
fun,
the
dip?
Fun dip?
Fun dip, yeah.
I should have brought fun dip. That would have been...
Yeah, like those. I mean, they're a thing still, but they're not popular anymore.
Yeah, no, you don't see kids riding around on their scooters eating fun dip with their ring pops.
Scooters go 30 miles an hour now.
Yeah. They got engines. My Razor scooter, it was just me pushing that thing.
You're dipping and driving.
Dipping and driving. Mean, honestly, with the sugar highs they were getting, they're probably just like,
I loved eating that chalk stick that came in the fun dip. That was delicious.
I can't believe how much that just like pure sugar candies that we would eat, like. Even like Smarties, like they were just like, here, eat this sugar like circle.
Yeah. Or like when you go to an amusement park and you can get like the pixie sticks that are taller than your child.
Yeah. Even cotton candy. And I know you and I have talked about this, Fred. I can't do cotton candy anymore.
I'm not big on actual cotton candy, but I like it as a flavor, like an ice cream.
Okay.
Because I don't think cotton candy ice cream tastes like cotton candy.
It's almost kind of like Blue Moon, but like,
it's very Blue Moon-ish.
It's adjacent, but it's not Blue Moon because I like Blue Moon. I don't know that I like Blue. I don't like bubblegum. I don't like cotton candy. Flavors, as that is, I should say.
Yeah. Mm. I love just a straight old stick of gum, though.
Now, when you go to get some frozen custard and they put a little cookie in the top of it, does ice cream become a dip?
Well, not everyone does that. I feel like you're alluding to the Milwaukee chain cops.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, no one else does that.
And I don't use that to scoop out ice cream. That's just a little bite I take before I eat
the ice cream.
What about
the people, though, who dip their fries into their shakes?
Probably should be arrested. I don't know. No, I don't think that's bad.
You do what you want with you and your shake and your own privacy.
I don't think that passes the Elton Brown test, though.
I think that
it might actually.
I get the concept of flavors. It just grosses me out. Like salty sweet, I like, so I get that, and I think the textures make sense. It's just the idea of like running your fries through your ice cream just is disgusting to me.
Yeah. Like, if you go to the chocolate factory and they give you that little, like, butter cookie on your straw or whatever, and you want to dip that in your shake, that I like. Because then it's like, ooh, you get a little extra.
Potbelly does that, too.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of, Potbelly, not
the
not
chocolate factory.
Sometimes they do.
That's plenty.
I've never been there.
Yeah, they do, like...
I mean, is that where Charlie went?
I mean, it was, but not that chocolate factory. The murder one.
Oh.
It's like Baskin-Robbins meets a Sub place.
When does Charlie and the Chocolate Factory become public domain? We could do like a horror movie version of that. Or
I don't know if it ever does because it's Roald Dahl, no?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, Steamboat Willie became public domain. And
well, that's true.
Yeah, that's in theaters right now.
I feel like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is younger.
It has to be. It's got to be 50s.
Also, which iteration of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory do you want it to be? Free domain.
Not the one with.
Isn't it already kind of a horror movie anyway?
Or Timothy Chalamet?
I'm okay with Timotei. I'm not good with Depp. He was creepy.
I want the Edinburgh version of the Charlie into the Chocolate Factory experience to be booked to me.
The memes were so good. We got to wait till 2064 before that becomes public domain.
Jeez.
We got another 40 years. I'll be a ripe age of 77 at that point.
Well, we'll only be eating dips at that age.
That's
no,
right.
No teeth.
No teeth. You can only eat soft food.
Let me gum that potato chip just to get the dip off.
Anything else that you guys want to offer for our Show Me the Franchise category?
No. I think I'm ready for the next.
No, I am going to be Googling wasabi dips later.
You should.
And I'm going to Google your chicken lemon
dip. Lemon, yeah, dip. It's an interesting that concept.
Sounds
right?
Good.
Give me my fish fry dip, Fred.
I want my fish fry. No.
That's okay. Why don't we rank our top three dips, though, each of us? All right. Pedro is our honored guest. Yeah. Why don't you kick us off?
I'm ready. Okay. Go. So coming in at number three.
Three.
Buffalo chicken dip. Ooh. I love it. I order it whenever I can at any bar or tavern. Just amazing, but always get it with chips. I don't like, sometimes they give you other weird options, but I love them with potato chips. Number two, cheese dips. So queso. I love queso.
Queso. Okay.
Yeah. So we're going that.
So you gotta be very specific with your cheese dip, because we established there's a lot of different types
of queso. I love queso because I like having chilies in there. I love having the consistency, just good flavor. And then number one, I got to go with salsa.
Mm.
I'm not going to give you an exact brand name, but any salsa, salsas are amazing. Number one dip. I can put that on anything, put it in anything as well. I mess with it.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Great. Fred, do you want me to go next or you want to go?
I'll go. I don't know if I have an order, but I'm going to lock in salsa as well, just because, like, if we were going to play the game of you could only have one of these, like, I think salsa I do the most with. Like, I can just enjoy it with chips. I love, like, throwing it into a taco or something. Mm. Like, over some eggs can be good, too. So I'm going to go with that. I am next going to go with I'm going to specify Maryland crab dip, because I don't want pasteurized crab in there. I don't want any of that shit. It needs to be fresh Maryland crab. And then for my number, well, like I said, these aren't in order, but I'm going to throw this out because I feel we didn't really represent it. It's something that I wish I could eat more, but the idea of having to eat the potato chip and the dip is just something I can't wrap my head around all the time, is just kind of like the sour cream and onion dip with a chip. I love, like, the ruffle in that dip. I wish I could just eat it all the time.
Like the Helleva or Dean's
bread. Yeah, and it, honestly, it doesn't even have to be sour cream onion. It can be the French onion, any of those, the ranch that's thicker. You know, I love all that stuff.
That sounds really great. I like the picks so far. And I like that we're going across the board. I will not be including salsa in my top three. It just missed the top three. Because I'm going to go for a different...
I'm telling your wife.
No, because here, I'm also...
There is real fear in that. No.
No.
Do not do that. She will ban me from ever eating salsa. No, but I'm going to pick a different Mexican-based dip, or at least of origin in Latin America. That is guacamole.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
fair.
That is good.
And because I think guacamole gives a lot of the same ingredients that you'll find, but also plus that avocado, which I just love the way it kind of soothes your throat a little bit as you eat it. I don't know. Sometimes salsa, I'm like, oh, I get such a big punch, but guacamole, if it's spicy, at least you kind of have that avocado to sort of like balance it out a little bit. It's very nice. Number two, I am going to go with hummus. That's why I picked it today. I love me some hummus. Remember the first time I had it, like as a teenager, friend introduced me to it. Yeah, not Fred. A friend introduced
no,
me
I
to
know,
it.
No, I know.
Fred met me way, way young.
All the way from the south.
It's like, Tom, you got to try this stuff. Fred was not a fan of my... I don't sound like that.
I don't sound like that.
Yeah, as you do the sound.
But I remember having hummus for the first time with pretzels and with the pretzel chips, those like flats that you get specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Life changing. I will still have that as a snack to this day. It's like whenever I just need like a snack, but I'm like, I need a little salty, but also some of that bean, I go for it. But number one.
It's going to be some Midwestern shit.
Go. Yeah. I'm picking some rutabaga sweet chili. No, I'm not doing that.
Oh.
I don't even know if there's a rutabaga dip. There shouldn't be.
There probably is.
That would be bad. I am going to go with that cheese and sausage dip. Whether it's Velveeta, if it's Rotel, Patrick's very upset with Fred. I think it's just the best, like, party snack, especially if you're watching a football game. Easy to put on a plate, and it just, oh my God, I don't know.
It's a I'll take bite. Your word for it.
I think you might change your ranking of buffalo chicken after, because buffalo chicken dip is very good.
I love it.
I think I go sausage and cheese dip, give it the slight edge, and it's a classic from my childhood. My dad and my mom both used to make a different version of it each, and it's great.
Yeah, with Velveeta, we always, like, if we were going to do a Velveeta dip, usually we just use that to make mac and cheese. Mm. But the Velveeta, you could do equal parts that with the Tostitos standard salsa and mix that together. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mix the Tostitos salsa with the Tostitos nacho cheese, and that's really good. That's good.
I mean, literally take that recipe that you guys are describing, just put in, like, some Jimmy Dean's, like, sausage with it. Like, that's the type of cheese dip that you can make, and it's so easy to make. It's really
good. And that's your number one.
That's my number one.
We did not mention one kind of subsection of dip, which is a bean dip.
Oh, yes. Well, we kind of talked about chili-ish, but that's not a bean dip.
My opinion, bean dips aren't... I mean, hummus is a bean dip.
That's true.
That's true. Anyway. It's just a different cuisine. Yeah.
It's chickpea.
It's chickpea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, we're talking, like, black bean or pinto bean dip, right?
I feel like that's just... It's so weird because you eat it as a side. You eat beans as a side.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels like it's a meal.
Look, I just wanted people to feel like they were heard if they were big bean dip folks.
If you are, please. There are group therapy.
Cool. I would love people to write in. If bean dip is one of your top three, please write us in and tell us why. Showmethefranchise@gmail.com. And that's it for our dips episode. Pedro, thank you so much for joining us again. Before we let you go.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, sure. I would love to plug this improv show that we got going on in Milwaukee at the Interchange Theater Co-op. That is in 628 North 10th Street on April 18th. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 7:30, only for $10. It is a show I produce. It is Cringe, the Milwaukee's improvised dating show. We make up fake dating profiles for the audience, and the audience chooses who goes on a date. You get to watch us have a wacky date. And then also on May 3rd, I want to plug in our Cinco de Mayo show. It's on May 3rd because Cinco de Mayo is on Monday. It's an all-Latino cast. That will be $15 a ticket. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. Also at the Interchange at 628 North 10th Street. You can get tickets at interchangetheater.com/shows. And that'll be a great fun time. It'll be based and themed around the Mexican bingo game called Loteria, which it'll be very fun. Thanks, guys.
I'll be working the bar for the Cringe show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You'll have some dips at the bar.
Check interchangetheater.com. You can see both those guys at the Interchange. But Fred, anything you want to plug as well?
Same place, same address, 426. I'll be performing with Fractal, and they'll be opening for Rivertown. And then on May 10th, I will be directing and starring a little bit in a sketch show, Masters of Sketch. That will also be at the Interchange Theater, so check all that out. Four great shows.
Sounds like a great time at the Interchange Theater. I'll, of course, just plug the podcast. If you like this episode, please remember to rate and review it. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and YouTube. Join our Patreon today. For just $1 a month, you can get exclusive content. We'll have one bonus episode per month. Next on our Patreon, Fred, I think we are finally doing our Dunkin' Donuts episode.
Yes. In a way.
In a way. It was a Dunkin' adjacent episode.
A Dunkin' special episode.
A very special Dunkin'
episode. Is Ben Affleck coming?
Yeah, he should.
No. Yeah, he'd like it. But no, I think eventually we'll do a Dunkin' main feed.
Yeah.
Well, Dunkin', man.
This is a little toes wet.
Yeah, but we're just keeping it on the DL because we're still finalizing some details there. Special thanks to Nick Spitza, Mike Schwantz for opening and closing themes. And stay tuned for our next main feed episode, which is on, I'm feeling 22, Fred. It's Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
I hope you all are feeling 22 as well, but if you're not 22 or you're
feeling 32.
I'm feeling I'm feeling not that. I can tell you that much.
No, I know, Tom.
Pedro, thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Got no cares, cause all I wanna do is charge my phone and drive, listening to you. And work and talk.